So for today, I will be speaking and linking up with Carla Steyn, who's a breast cancer survivor, and that is up until 6 o'clock today, inshallah. Then a bit later on this afternoon, for the first hour, we will be linking up with a strong female, I'll say, to share her journey as a survivor of breast cancer. Then in the second hour, we will be concluding our mental health series for this month, obviously for the month of October, with our registered counsellor, Zaima Sali. But for now, welcome Carla Steyn to the program in her voice. She's a breast cancer survivor, and I hope that all is good on your side.
Hi. Yes, thanks for having me.
Is it cold, wet, raining your side?
It is horrible weather. It's cold,
really.
It's wet, it's windy. It's not nice.
The soup weather and the blanket weather.
Yes. Well, with two children under four, there's not really time for relaxing. So we're quite busy on this side.
Now you're going to have to do the games and everything else under the sun. So you're going to have to keep them inside, indoors, and keeping them entertained. Shame, man.
Yes. That's quite challenging.
Carla, breast cancer survivor, strong woman. Can you tell us a little bit about your diagnosis? And when exactly have you got to learn from the word get-go that you have cancer?
Okay, so my journey actually started quite a long time ago, if I'm saying long, when I was a child. So my grandmother on my mother's side, she passed away due to cancer. Okay. So it was always in the back of my mind that, you know, this is potentially something that can happen. It's not to say that my grandmother did have the genetic cancer mutation, but nonetheless. So then years went by, and, you know, they always try and promote doing self-examinations and stuff. So that is what I did one evening at home, and I felt a lump just below my left breast, and I immediately knew you should not be here. So I went to the office the next day, and one of my colleagues told me that I should contact Apple Sultan Hussein in Cape Town, because they're apparently very good and they have a very nice setup. They do everything there, so I don't have to do the mammogram in one place and then drive to another to have something else done. Mm-hmm. They do everything there. So I made the appointment and I went, and they did a mammogram and a sonar, and then the oncologist came back and she's like, she doesn't really like the shape of this lump. So she did a biopsy, and this was a Thursday. And then she told me, okay, they're going to send it away for testing and they'll let me know. So they called me the Monday and she was like, yep, it is breast cancer. Mm. So, yeah.
With that, you sound so super strong. With that news, in that initial room, what was your reaction when you received the news?
Well, I think when confronted with something that can potentially kill you, I think fear is most definitely the first thing that comes to mind, dread. And with me having two small children, it was just the overall sense of loss, everything that I stand to lose if I can't beat this, or if I, you know, if it just grows and grows and grows and eventually kills me. So yeah, it was, it wasn't as much as a surprise. Like I said, years ago, you know, I kind of had it in the back of my mind that my grandma had it, and I never got to know her, unfortunately, but she did leave me with something. Thanks, grandma. But, so.
Okay. With that also, you said you feel the loss, you feel the emotions. It's obviously normal. How did you get to cope with the emotional and psychological aspects of your actual diagnosis?
So, as a psychologist, because shortly after my diagnosis, I decided that I need to take or do or put measures in place that kind of gives me the sense that I still have control, because when you get faced with anything that's basically life-threatening, you immediately start feeling like you are losing control of your life, of your own time, your own decisions, your health, everything. You just have this immense sense of loss of control. So I started seeing a psychologist, and she also worked with cancer patients and survivors. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that I did to have me feel like I'm taking control back. And even if this might sound a bit silly, but shortly after my diagnosis, I decided, you know what, this cancer is going to take a lot out of me. It might even take a lot away from me, but I'm going to cut my own hair, because I had a big bush of curly hair. Mm. It was gorgeous. And obviously, with cancer and all the treatment that you go through, you lose a lot of that. So I just decided, I don't care. I'm going to cut my hair off. I decided that I'm going to cut my hair. Cancer didn't decide it for me. Yeah. I decided that I'm going to do it now. And I went, and it was quite emotional. The hairdresser is also a friend of mine, so she made my hair in a ponytail, and she looked me in the face, and she's like, "Are you ready?" I'm like, "Yes, let's do it." Mm. And she cut, and as she cut, I was just like, getting with each cut, feeling like I'm getting a little bit of control back. And she cut my hair off, and that was that.
So with one of the challenges out of the way, you decided to cut your hair, and you've decided cancer's not going to do it. I'm going to let it go. What were some of the other biggest challenges that you got to face during the treatment?
So with obviously with different cancers, you get put on different treatment programs. So mine was, I was diagnosed with a very, very rare, aggressive genetic mutation. My mutation is called RAD51C. And they couldn't test for that in South Africa, because apparently here they only have like 20-odd something cancer mutations that they can test against. So my bloods had to be sent to the USA, and it got tested there, because they can test, I think, to over 180 different mutations. And then it came back saying that, okay, so yet again, you're very special because you have a very rare one. And with that, the oncologist determines the best way forward in terms of your treatment. So I got chemo. I was on a four red and then four red chemos, and then a different chemo cocktail for several other cycles. And with that comes a lot of other things that chemo does to your body. Obviously, your liver takes a huge beating, and every cell in your body that grows fast dies with your immunity. So that is hair, nails, I think even your digestive system. So all cells that renew quite quickly gets blown up by chemo. So that's hence why hair loss and everything. So for me, the biggest thing, I think, and for most women that has gone, always going through the same journey, can agree with me here, losing your hair, and losing, like, you don't just lose the hair on your head, you lose all the hair on your face. So you look quite strange. And seeing yourself like that is it's definitely an eye opener, but not in a good way. Mm. So for me, the biggest thing was, it felt like I'm losing my womanhood, like I'm losing my femininity, because everything that on a physical way is attributes to women, you lose that.
Yeah.
So that makes it quite challenging to reframe your mind, to tell yourself that, okay, you have cancer, but it's only temporary. So what you see now in the mirror is only temporary. You will not look like this forever. But in order to survive this, you have to look like this now. So, you know, doing that takes immense mental capacity to get you to a place where you acknowledge that this is what's happening to me. I don't like this. It is terrible what is happening to me and so many other women in the world. And in that, there's also community because you know you're not alone. You know you're not the only one that's going through this. Mm. So there is a lot of good within the bad. But yeah, shortly after a diagnosis, you only see the bad, and that's also okay.
With that also, were there any specific moments or milestones in your specific journey that stand out to you?
Yeah, well, most definitely. I can't even begin to explain what this journey has taught me. It's been almost 2 years now, and I'm still having side effects of all the treatments that I underwent. So I think one of the biggest moments was when shortly after the kids and I moved out, I moved into a flat, and my mother used to come over weekends when I had chemo so that she could look after the kids while I'm just being nauseous and sick and everything's just dark and you're not in a very good place. And I'll never forget this. And this is like I reached an epiphany. I sat on the couch in my pajamas. I had no hair. I was super sick. And I just sat there feeling very sorry for myself. And I looked outside and my mother was sitting on the stoop. Mm. And she was just sitting there reading through her WhatsApp messages. And I looked at her and it suddenly dawned on me. And I asked myself, Carla, have you realized what your illness is doing to your parents? Mm. And because I'm an only child, so which doesn't matter. I mean, if it's your child, it's your child. It doesn't matter if you have one or 10. Mm. But, and I realized that this illness does not only just affect me. It's also the people around me that love me that have to see me like this, feeling completely helpless, knowing that there's basically nothing they can do to make things better. And I looked at her and I just started crying. And I told her, Mom, I'm sorry that you have to see me like this. I'm sorry that you also have to go through this. And she stood up and she walked over to me and she sat next to me and we just embraced each other and we started crying. And I realized in that moment that there is so much power in human connection. And, you know, I could not have gone through such a journey without my support system, which includes my parents and friends and coworkers and, you know, the great team at Cancer Care that did all my therapy and my oncologist, you know, everyone at Appelstad and Sane, they were just amazing. And everyone was just, you know, so supportive. And it also helped that their input was not one of, oh, okay, so you're sick and we feel sorry for you. It wasn't a pity party. It was more like, you know what, this is what's happening and we're going to get you through it and you're going to get you through it. You can do this. So it was one of motivation, which helped immensely.
That was actually my next question. How important is it really to have those type of people around you, especially when you're going through all of the mixed emotions, having to undergo therapy, and having to be at hospital most of the time for chemo and obviously your body feeling numb and all of those mixed emotions. How important is it to have those type of people around you?
Well, I think the short answer will be it's similar to needing oxygen to be able to live. So I think that is self-explanatory because at the end of the day, when I did not have energy to make supper for me and the kids, yeah, or I could not even get myself out of bed, I had my mother, I had my friends that brought us food and supported us in all the physical ways that I could not, you know, go about how I normally would have done it. Mm. So that is extremely, extremely important. And I've also learned on this journey that even if you only have one person, just one, it doesn't need to be many, only one that is there from the beginning till the end, that supports you when you're crying, that supports you when you feel you are the most unattractive being on the planet, and when you're crying and when everything just hurts and it's not nice. You only need one. You only need that, you know what, I don't know what you're going through, but I love you and I will do what I can to ease it, to ease the burden on you. And yeah, so that was just, yeah, it helps a lot.
And with your mom also assisting with the little ones. And I mean, your children was basically 2 years old under, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they were, so, yeah, both two under two. So quite a busy bunch.
Exactly. That's actually much of a handful. And at the same time, you don't have that strength all the time. But luckily, you had your mom basically alongside assisting wherever. With me, I have Carla Steyn online. She's a breast cancer survivor. Voice of the Cape, your biggest community radio station, 91.3 FM. We quickly need to pay some bills. When we come back, we will continue.